Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
State Treasurer David McRae is returning record amounts of money to Mississippians, whether it's through the College and Career Savings Program or the millions in unclaimed money awaiting your claim. Treasurer David McRae says get your application and claims today. Treasury.ms.gov.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
I know the timing isn't ideal, but welcome in regardless. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you guys are here. I know Ole Miss basketball playing literally right now in the second half, and it's a single-digit game. So again, the timing of this probably not the best, but I did not want to stay up until the end of this basketball game. If I'm being fully transparent with you guys, I did not want to stay up until the end and then do this for an hour and then have to upload it and do all that. I would have been up all night. So Ole Miss currently holding an 11-point lead. If that gets squirrely, maybe we'll transition away from football into that. But in the meantime, welcome in. We are talking Ole Miss, Florida. Keys to the win for Ole Miss at Florida. We're also going to look at the injury report, which, by the way, we are in the towards the end of November. I mean, it's the second to last week of the season, and Ole Miss is the healthiest that they've been all season, including week one. I mean, this is their injury report looks the best that they have looked all season. So getting healthy at the right time, we'll look at that. We'll do keys to the game, and we will read your comments on this chilly but beautiful Thursday night. Again, my name is Michael Borky. Please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. If you're watching or listening on YouTube, pull out your phone, your favorite podcast app, search Rebel Report, subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. And don't forget to like the video, leave a comment, and all that good stuff. And before we get into anything else, I want to tell you that the podcast is brought to you by I was about to do the wrong read because I'm an idiot. That's okay. This podcast is presented by the Gregory Law Firm, now in Fulton, Mississippi, no longer in Saltillo, but still can service you anywhere in this great state. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered for all of your personal injury situations. If you have been personally injured, don't delay another second. Call DJ Gregory right now of the Gregory Law Firm, 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. Personal injury. Also, if you're a small business owner and the day may come where you need legal advice, it may not be today. So save that number. You don't want to be, you know, left out in the cold or not knowing where to go. If you're a small business owner, you may have a contract dispute or if you've been personally injured. So check him out. DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, 662-397-9799. So starting with the injury report, this is wild. I mean, yesterday had more names on it, but it still looked exactly like this one, with the exception of all the probables have been taken off. So Ole Miss had a lot of probables. You know, Jackson Dart, Princely was on there. Trey Harris was listed as probable. Jerquan Scott was listed as probable. They have all been taken off of the injury report, which means that they're going to play on Saturday. The only names remaining are Isaiah Hartrup, which is a wide receiver. Did you know that? I did not. Henry Parrish, obviously out for the season. Hope his injury and the procedure and recovery and all that is going well for Henry. And the only other name on Ole Miss's injury report is Logan Diggs. He is listed as questionable. I think at this point I would be surprised if he plays or if he does. You'll get significant snaps on Saturday. I could be wrong. It just Kiffin's comments throughout the week kind of tells you that it may not be this week, and if it is, it may be a limited role. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he gets 20 carries on Saturday, but I do think that it is more likely that if Logan Diggs plays, it's going to be, you know, even into next week, but or in the playoffs should they win these next two games and get there. But to me, what's crazy, I pulled the whole sports talk radio guy thing where I had a take that is so like out of left field that people think like you're just kind of making it up. Far more important, in my opinion, for this game is the health of the offensive line as opposed to the health of Trey Harris. A lot of people are talking about Trey Harris. We're going to do the same when we get into keys here in a second. But looking at this injury report and seeing only now none, but yesterday there was only one offensive lineman on the injury report, and he was listed as probable. This is the first time this season, by the way, as Ole Miss basketball pulling away now, they're up 16. This is the first time this season that they have been all healthy and available. Now, it seems like they have found kind of a nice combination of guys. I mean, they're getting really good snaps right now out of Pounds at left tackle. You've had some good play lately as well from Micah Pettis. And you know, that it still hasn't been the same five guys, but it does feel like they have kind of a, like a nice nucleus of guys that they have figured out throughout the course of the season that gives them their best chance to win. And how can you blame them? I mean, Pat, they've pass protected very well for 3 weeks in a row. And especially they had for Georgia, and for what you expect from this offensive line, they had a really good game against Georgia last time out. So that, to me, is far more important for this team's prospects moving forward than even Trey Harris, because you've seen what this offense is capable of without him. Now, again, I know it sounds like sports radio guy thing where, oh, they don't even need Trey Harris. Is the offense better without him? I'm not doing that stuff. But I do think that seeing the lineman not listed at all is more important than seeing Trey Harris back for this offense, because they've kind of figured it out. They're finally healthy. They're protecting better. And that's going to be the difference between this team winning their next two games, getting into the playoffs and making a run, and not, is if they can have quality offensive line play. The other side, they've figured that out there. They're fine there. But I think you need to have great play on both lines of scrimmage if they're really going to make the run that this team is absolutely capable of making. And knowing that they're healthy on the offensive line is a much bigger deal to me. So let's do a few keys to this game. First of all, speaking of health, the thing that I am most curious about in this game is DJ Lagway's health. And because he's playing, obviously, is he even listed as probable on the... No, Florida has only listed out players on their injury report as well. So he was obviously going to play, and I mean, still battling that hamstring issue. It was reported going into the game last week that he was not going to run at all, that he was just going to have to, you know, play from the pocket, and he's still recovering from that hamstring. And sure enough, that was absolutely accurate, and Florida was able to win the game anyway. He's had another week to heal. But truly, how healthy is Lagway for Florida? That hamstring injury looked ugly. He is a few weeks removed from that. But this is an Ole Miss defensive front that creates havoc. I mean, statistically, more so than any other team in college football. They lead the country in sacks and in tackles for loss. And what makes Ole Miss so impressive is that they can get home and generate penetration in the run game and generate pressure in sacks in the pass game, only bringing four. So, you know, in part you would think that maybe Pete Golding needs to be really, really aggressive and try to get to Lagway and see if he can move and try to get him to move around in the pocket and break him down and try to see if he actually is mobile. Can he beat you with his legs? But Ole Miss doesn't really have to do that, or at least they haven't in the past. So can Ole Miss generate pressure and get Lagway moving with just four? If that's the case, then it's ball game. If Ole Miss is going to be able to play coverage without taking any risks because they're getting home with four, they are winning the football game. They absolutely are. So we'll see if they're capable of doing that. But that's the key to me, is that key number one anyway, is Lagway generating pressure on Lagway, seeing how mobile he actually is, and getting home without having to take risks. Because, I mean, he's still got a lot of room for improvement, but the talent is real. The arm talent is absolutely real. And he's the kind of guy that if you give him opportunities, and I know Florida's banged up everywhere at this point, but that guy can beat you with his arm. He can. So if you can get home with four and play coverage, they're going to be just fine. Another thing, key number two. So number one is getting pressure without having to bring additional guys. Can they do that? Ole Miss has proven that they can, but, you know, can they do that on Saturday? The next one is Trey Harris being back healthy. Can that happen while the offense looks the exact same? It's no secret that they have improved offensively in his absence. They are not better without him. But what was the disconnect between Ole Miss's offense with Trey Harris healthy and without? Part of it, I think, from my amateur perspective, I'm certainly not a coach. Some would probably tell me I'm crazy, but I do think that when you have a receiver that's as good and as dominant as Trey Harris, you can kind of get hyper-focused on him. And I think you saw that in the Kentucky game, for example. I think they overutilized Trey Harris, and he had a big game, but you have, and you've seen it over the last few weeks, you have a ton of weapons, and when they're distributing the football, when he's using the entire field, he being Jackson Dart, when he's hitting his checkdowns, my goodness, how effective was Ulysses Bentley in this offense last week against Georgia when Dart had to, you know, maybe escape a little pressure, and they used that little angle route as well with Caden Lee. Little things like that, little short routes, dump-offs, checkdowns, continue to spread the ball around and use the entire field instead of Trey Harris is over there. He's arguably the best receiver in college football. Let me just throw it to him. The offense in Jackson Dart needs to continue to look the way it has, even with Trey Harris back, distributing the football evenly, getting Watkins involved, getting Lee and Wells involved, and the running back out of the backfield and the tight ends and spreading that ball around. If Jackson Dart's able to do that, then they have not only a really good chance to win, but they're going to win the game. And finally, this is kind of like a free space no-brainer, like, yeah, breaking news, Mortal 11. But if they play clean football, what has been the difference, one of the differences for Ole Miss over the last 3 weeks as opposed to the three previous SEC games, is how few mistakes they made. I know Dart had an interception at the very beginning of the Georgia game. Arm was hit, couldn't step into the throw. He was hurt. But Ole Miss largely didn't hurt themselves against Georgia. Only three penalties, made all of their field goals, no dropped passes in the rain. Same thing with Arkansas, right? I mean, Ole Miss was truly, I mean, they avoided penalties, that they made very few mistakes, if any, when a receiver was open, quarterback hit him, and so on and so forth. I think that this is the kind of game, I know it's this swamp and it's sold out and Florida's playing well, and they are. They're playing better, and they're no pushover or anything like that. This is a difficult game. But I do think Ole Miss, if they execute, if Ole Miss is at their A game, losing this game is not possible. What will cause them to lose the game is early turnovers, inopportune penalties, bad special teams play, the kind of stuff that got them bit in Baton Rouge. If they execute, they're not losing the game. So get pressure with four, test Lagway's legs, see how mobile he can actually be. With Trey Harris back in the offense, distribute the football evenly, even with him. And then finally, just clean it up. If they continue to play relative mistake-free football like they have over the last 3 weeks, they're winning this game, and they're going to be 24-plus point favorites in the Egg Bowl, and they'll make the playoff. So we'll see if they can do it. The podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. So if you are a Mississippi business and you need tech in the office, if you need anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to data security, cloud storage, absms.com is the website. Tell them I sent you and you'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. The podcast is also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. They've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely to be one in your backyard. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. All right, little score update for those of you that are live. Ole Miss is up 20 now with 22 now. With 9 minutes to go in the game, Padula's got 19. He had a flurry of threes there at the end of the first half. Morrell's got 15. MBJ's got 12. Breakfield, 7 off the bench. Barnes, 9 off the bench. A pretty even scoring night for Ole Miss. Did not shoot the three ball well early. Looks like they've picked that up, and they're probably going to run away with this one. So there is that. Let's get to your comments, and we'll get you out of here a little early tonight. selfishly hoping Princely sacks Lagway and throws up the land shark on Saturday. There's nothing selfish about that wish, my friend. That is that will be a pretty legendary situation there. Princely's had a hell of a year. And I've mentioned this to you guys before, honestly. So forgive me for being repetitive. I'm kind of a repetitive guy. It is what it is. It happens. But there was a lot of narrative about Princely when he left Florida. There was a lot of narrative about Walter Nolan when he left Texas A&M. Oh, Princely takes plays off. He's lazy. He's not good at this, whatever, whatever. And maybe there was some truth behind some of those things. It's possible it was. Princely's been elite for Ole Miss. And it's a shame that he got hurt because the season he's having would be even better if not having missed some time. But he's been an elite end. And you saw that, especially on Saturday against Georgia. And Walter Nolan's just been everything you hoped that he would be. And so I don't know if it's Randall Joyner or if it's Pete Golding or a combination of the two, Lane Kiffin, whoever's involved. They did an excellent job with those guys. Or those guys, the narratives were never true and there was never truth to them. Maybe there was. I don't know. But I do know that they are getting some great production out of the two of them. And everybody involved needs to be commended for that. They were obviously very talented players, but you guys remember the narratives, and the two of them have, at least publicly in their play on the field, really made those narratives look goofy. Is Ole Miss basketball bad or just don't have chemistry built yet? I certainly would not call them bad. What I worry about with them is physicality. But I do think that guard play, I mean, again, tonight is showing up. Padula 6 of 10, Morrell 6 of 12, and he's 1 of 5 from 3, so he's 5 of 7 from the field. Murray, actually, did he get hurt? I've been setting this up and all that. He only has 3 shots on the night, played only 14 minutes. I'll have to take your guys' word for that. Had to put the toddler to bed and then fire this up with you guys so we could only watch, 5 minutes of the first half. But anyway, evening T, glad to see you. Always glad to, always glad to see it. See ya. Ole Miss is locked in. Really don't think it's going to be a close game. Just your opinion. Yeah, I would be surprised. We've had a lot of people on the radio show ask us about, could they be looking ahead? Are they reading their press clippings? All the stuff that people say, people that are worried about, is this team, are they overlooking Florida? Is this a trap game? And look, nothing that they've said is an indication of that. I cannot imagine that this team would be looking ahead of Florida. I mean, Florida is capable. They played Georgia well with their third string quarterback. They beat LSU last week. They've got a very talented quarterback. It's on the road. If Ole Miss is overlooking this game, if they're not adequately prepared for this game, then they don't deserve to make the playoffs anyway. I would be very surprised if they're not totally locked in to this one. I mean, they know what's at stake. Everybody involved knows what's at stake. You get your Christmas bonus tomorrow and hope the vibes carry over. Congrats, man. Congrats. Send some of that my way. I'm kidding. Don't do that. Enjoy it. Is it Logan Diggs season? I don't think so yet. Do you like the different uniform combos? What is the reason for them not having the traditional white with red numbers? I don't know. I don't know the reason. I don't understand how a football program worth the tens and tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars that Ole Miss football is worth, can't have a white with red numbers uniform and a white with blue numbers uniform. But I think in part it's pretty obvious that Lane Kiffin really likes powder blue. I mean, it could be as simple as that. Is recruiting about to start heating up? I mean, signing day is 2 weeks from yesterday. So, yeah, it's going to and it has to. And now you've got the situation going on at LSU right now, which Ole Miss could and seems likely, at least in one more case, to take advantage of. Also, you think Princely's about to have a day against Florida? I tend to agree. Has Kiffin started calling more true pass plays and less RPOs, which makes pass blocking hard? You know, maybe it's just visual bias on my part. It does look like they've used, you know, play action looks more. But also little things like, I don't know what they call them, but like the little angle route with Caden Lee. They did use Bentley out of the backfield some. I don't know, David. I'm not a savant in that way. I'm just kind of a talker, and that's all we really do here. But I do think that you have seen more creativity, for sure. With the schedule next season, what do I think a good record should be? Oh, gosh, I have no idea. And here's why I have no idea. Because who's on the team? Who's on the team next year? I have no idea, right? You have a pretty solid foundation. I mean, you would assume Caden Lee's back and Daquan Wright's back and at least a couple of the offensive linemen would and should be back. Logan Diggs will be back and fully healthy by then. But who else? You know, who else is going to be on the team? I don't know. How well do they do in the transfer portal? We'll talk once the spring portal window closes. We'll start talking about that a little bit more in depth. But even the first portal window, we'll have a pretty good idea. Seeing Dart progress through the season has been pretty great. Man, I mean, if the Jackson Dart that played Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Georgia showed up when they played Kentucky, that game wouldn't have been close. But yeah, man, I mean, he's had a really special season. Despite that 3 weeks of kind of poor play, and he's had a really special career. And I think that with time, history is going to look back on Jackson Dart a lot more positively than people currently do. I mean, he has received a metric ton of criticism, especially online, more so online than anything else, from, I you know, maybe I'm just a defender or whatever, but I do think that a lot of people have been incredibly, I say a lot of people, it's mostly just like Twitter. So maybe that's a mystery, but there has been some criticism of him that is unwarranted, considering that there's a chance that he leaves Ole Miss with all of the records and the most wins and all that stuff. Yeah, I think the criticism of him has been unfair. You're praying they play the Hoosiers in round one? Oh. And, you know, if Indiana loses this weekend, I don't think they're falling out of the playoffs, but that is – if Ole Miss is going to host, they need to move up two spots and not get jumped, right? So what I think you're hoping for is – see, the problem is if Miami loses – then you jump Miami, but SMU would jump you and then host or then get the bye. So your position would really not change at all. Indiana losing to Ohio State's an easy first thing that needs to happen. But then you need to root against Alabama. Maybe they can lose to Oklahoma or Auburn. Root against Penn State this weekend. They're at Minnesota. That's not easy. Root against Notre Dame. I know that's not hard for you to do. There's got to be that one more. They got to move up two spots. And everybody that has a bye needs to keep that bye, right? And they need to move up two spots. So it's root for Ohio State this weekend, root against Alabama, root against Notre Dame, root against Penn State. That's and you need one of those things to happen. And, of course, they need to win. But anyway. The quote, "we have to win out," quote, press conference from Jackson Dart will live forever if Ole Miss were to win a championship like the Tim Tebow of college football. Even if they like make a run in the playoffs and don't necessarily win it, They can do that. That can be that, I guess is what I should say. Next season, we'll have to see what transfers they get. With what's returning, 8-4 would be about right. The line would be about 7.5. All depends on the portal. I mean, if they get Otis, for example, if they're able to get a couple of defensive backs, there's only a few pieces away from looking at that team and thinking, damn, they could be pretty good. Josh Pate's been propping up Ole Miss a lot recently. Kind of weird. I thought he was against Ole Miss, but maybe he thinks differently now. I'm totally fine with people changing their opinion when afforded new information, right? I mean, all offseason, he was very big on Ole Miss's chances to be a championship program. And then right before the season began, he changed his mind, which I thought, you know, nothing has happened yet for you to do that. And I just disagree with the notion that early in the season, when it was thought that Napier was going to get fired, that you can do things at Florida that you can't at Ole Miss, and that the rationale behind that is very old school thinking and not caught up to present day college football. But as the season goes on, I'm totally fine with changing your mind on what you think a team can be. Right? Ole Miss 4 weeks ago didn't look like a team that could win a championship. They do now. And so I think it's totally fine to evolve your opinion with new information. What's my assessment of Florida's defense? Going into last week, I would have told you that, you know, they've got some guys that they're capable, but they're certainly not any better at all than what Georgia presented. In fact, they'd be significantly worse, and they struggle getting after the quarterback, et cetera, et cetera. But, man, they really got after LSU, and I think part of that is because of LSU's offensive line injury issues. Nobody has quality depth on the offensive line, like real quality depth. After a couple of injuries, you're going to play somebody that doesn't belong there, it seems anyway, across college football. And going into last week, I'd have told you that, you know, I kind of like this matchup for Ole Miss. They struggle to get after the quarterback and just banged up everywhere. But the LSU game has kind of scarred me a little bit. But no, I think that this is a defense that Ole Miss can exploit, and Ole Miss has better receivers than they do defensive backs. Generally speaking, they will probably, I think, still keep Ole Miss from running all over them. But with just proper execution, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Ole Miss had a really good day offensively. How much do I think Diggs will play? I don't know. Very little would be my guess based on some comments from Kiffin today or yesterday, but that's it. Did I see Joel Klatt say that Georgia is a better team than Ole Miss at their best? Why are people disrespecting the win? It pisses you off so bad. If that was Tennessee or LSU, they'd be on their knees. I would love to know, and I like Joel Klatt a lot. How much Georgia and Ole Miss has he watched this season? Like, how many games from each of them have you sat down and watched to come to that conclusion? And how much of the Georgia-Ole Miss game did you watch? I would love to know those answers. Army takes down Notre Dame. God, I hope so. Bryce Underwood heads to Michigan. Brian Kelly on the hot seat. Not yet, but he could be soon. Do I think Dart's ankle is good to go, or do I think he'll be limited? Oh, I mean, I don't think it's good to go. Spent, you know, at least the bye week in a walking boot, which understandably so. I had one group message with a handful of friends kind of start freaking out about Jackson Dart walking around in a walking boot or being around in a walking boot. And it's like, you guys saw the injury, right? You saw him limping around and going to the locker room. And what did you think was going on back there? I mean, he's hurt. I don't think that just you snap your hands and that recovers in such a short time. But as you saw in that game, I mean, he's tough as hell. I mean, he'll still run. He'll still run people over. I'm sure if it's what it looked like it was, that it might hurt. but they'll put some feel-good stuff in him, and they'll shoot him up with something, and he'll play like he did a couple weeks ago, if not a little bit healthier. But, yeah, I don't think that an injury like that, you can snap your fingers and it's perfect again. But I do think that it's an obvious assumption that they spent the last couple of weeks getting him healthy and keeping him off of it, and they're going to wrap it up like hell, and they're going to shoot him up with some stuff, and he'll play and he'll be fine. But I have no doubt that there's still some stuff there. Oh, you don't have to worry about, I don't think, this season. I don't think you have to worry about Kiffin and other jobs. Colin, I hope you don't think I'm like being condescending. I'm not in any way. I just don't think you need to waste your time thinking about that. There's just no reason to talk about that right now. But you are right. I mean, he's proven that you can win at Ole Miss now. And the grass isn't always greener. The grass is really green where he is right now. Just for fun, who has a better chance of an upset? Auburn over A&M, Oklahoma over Bama, Vandy over LSU. Auburn over A&M, I think, is the best chance at an upset this weekend, to the point where I might pick it on the radio show tomorrow. But I would put Auburn over A&M as one, Vandy, LSU two, Oklahoma, Alabama three. According to Sports Reference, Ole Miss basketball is 1393 and 1396 all time. This year might be the first team in decades Ole Miss is a winning basketball program all time. How about that? Well, they're now up by 40. So they are winning the second half. How about this? 46-19. They're winning the second half. There's 4 minutes to go in the game. They've only given up 19 points in the second half. So we're not watching, obviously. Or you guys might be. I'm not watching, obviously. But apparently, I'm going to have to go back and watch some of this, because the defensively they have locked down in the second half. Is it just you, or are you not worried about the Egg Bowl at all? You shouldn't be. It's possibly the worst defense in SEC football history. They are abysmal on that side of the ball. The only thing, if Ole Miss happens to lose to Florida, then, I mean, I guess in theory, but no. If Ole Miss beats Florida, there is absolutely there's nothing to be concerned about with the Egg Bowl. I would rarely say something like that. There's nothing to be concerned about with this game at all. On the uniform thing, you think it's simply the team votes on the better-looking uniform? Yeah, and I believe you. The players clearly like the powder as well. But at this point, why risk a rusty Logan Diggs in the playoffs instead of saving him until next season? Because if you think that he can help you now, he has to play now. If they think that he can help them now, he has to play now. Has to. You're talking about the postseason, the playoffs. Well, what are you saving anybody for? What matters is right now. It'd be different if they were out of it. They're not out of it, clearly. Going into this game feels very similar to going into the Arkansas game earlier this season. Tough place to play, salty team with upset wins, but a game they should win. I agree. And it'll be loud and rowdy and all that, and you get the ball first and you go down the field and score and sack Lagway on a third down, and, you know, crowd's out of it. You were too rough on Dart after the LSU game? No, look, man, he didn't play well. There was a 3-week stretch this season where he played poorly. He played poorly against Kentucky, played poorly at South Carolina. I know they dominated, but you guys know what I'm talking about. And wasn't good in Baton Rouge either. That's okay. He's not perfect by any stretch, but he had a 3-week period where he did not play his best football or anything close to it. But, and that's, I mean, he's a highly paid, he's a professional athlete, right? So being hard on a professional athlete after they perform poorly, that's okay. It's just now that, you know, whenever this season ends, and if it ends in the playoff, history and the fans need to look back on Jackson Dart incredibly fondly and talk about him among the greatest of all time in the history of the school. I mean, he would have the records and the wins and that and all that to show for it. So, no, you weren't too hard on him after the LSU game. It's a highly paid professional athlete. It just, you know, doesn't need to stay that way, I guess. You're all for Ole Miss hosting Indiana. How many friends, T, because I know you work there now, how many people would ask you if you can hook them up for tickets? Over, under, like 150. Anybody that has ever encountered you would be like, hey, can you hook me up? I will not do that to you, I promise. Kiffin reposted a picture on Instagram from a Florida fan calling Princely soft. I kind of feel like he's going to come out ready to knock some heads off. Yeah. There was kind of similar to Juice at South Carolina. Not as bad, I don't think. But it's a little bit different when Juice is a wide receiver and Princely's one of the best rush ends in the sport. If you're worried about motivation, because again, some of our radio audience has been worried about if the team like will be overlooking Florida. Princely won't be. Princely will not be. The who to root for guides in different playoff scenarios are really fun. The playoff expansion has been awesome. It has been absolutely awesome. I love talking about it, and not just because of the radio show and like content purposes. It's fun to talk about looking at playoff scenarios and, you know, should this team get in over this team and strength of schedule and this team's got to win over them. And, oh, look at this weekend. Could Notre Dame lose to, I mean, there are 14 playoff implicated games this weekend, 14 of them. And this is the bad weekend. So I'm with you, man. I mean, this is so much fun. It has been everything that we talked about all the last couple of years. It's been everything that we thought it would be. It brought more teams in. It's brought the entire country in. You have more compelling games at the end of the season. It's outstanding. This season's been amazing. It's been an amazing college football season. Pate's position hasn't changed much. He sees Ole Miss as a very good team this year, but sees the program as one that can only compete for championships once every 4 to 5 years. Yeah, show your work on that. Say it all the time. Show your work on that without saying something that dates back prior to 2021. Why? What reason do you have to think that that can't happen at Ole Miss, but that can happen out of Florida? Florida has been a disaster in the NIL era. A disaster. Why do you think that they can do it more so than why? What reason do you have? There is no reason. It's all projection based on stuff that happened years ago. Things have changed. Indiana's ranked number 5 on November 21st. Things have changed. What's my opinion on using the old BCS computer system to set the playoff rankings instead of the committee? Well, I think that's kind of already happening. Is it Dave Bartu that I think it's him where he has what seems to be the formula that the committee's using. I think that's who. Check him out on Twitter. I think he's the one that's got it. Dart will have a really good tape job to begin the game this weekend. Wink, wink. Well, he will definitely have a really good tape job. That is part of the equation. That is part of it. You don't see how A&M loses with their entire focus on Texas. I mean, Auburn. If you were an A&M, could you imagine if Lane Kiffin would have said that in his press conference this week? What would you guys be thinking right now if Lane Kiffin said, yeah, our full focus is on Mississippi State? I mean, Florida. What would you guys, I mean, you hope that he just slipped on his words a little bit, but still, what would you guys be thinking right now? 45-14, final score. I'm leaning somewhere in there. Never understand the people who are against the playoff expansion. It has to be a bit with some. What I think it is people died on that hill and now they refuse to acknowledge that they were wrong. I mean, the whole, we're going to lose, like Ohio State, Michigan's not going to matter anymore. So what? No, who cares? Nobody cares about the Ohio State-Michigan game mattering a little bit less. Not a single person cares about that. Literally not one person cares at all. And you're just pretending that all of these college football fans, like fans of Indiana and Ole Miss and SMU and all of these programs now that are playing more meaningful football than they ever have before, are going to care about the damn Ohio State-Michigan game. That was always such a goofy, ridiculous talking point. From like national media talking head types that only like fly at the 30,000 foot view, where they only look at like that game this weekend and nothing else. I mean, I guess I kind of understand like why they formed that position, but that was such a clear lack of understanding of what fuels college football fans. The Ohio State Michigan game and its meaning does not fuel 99.999% of college football fans. 99.999% of college football fans do not give a crap about the stakes of that game. Do not care. Never have cared. It was always goofy. Do I like Greg McElroy? I do. I do. I think that he's getting much better on TV as well. But I do like him. I think that, you know, at times he can, his Bama will show a little bit, but whatever. I do like him. I know that's not always popular around Ole Miss people, but I like Greg McElroy better than a lot of people that do television. The crew that Ole Miss has this weekend, I think is a pretty great crew. Been your position exactly. These are no longer amateur college students. They're very highly paid professional athletes and grown men. They're paid to be critiqued by the people who pay them. I agree completely. Any criticism of Dart in the moment was fair. Looking back at his career should be very, very fond. Both of those things can be true at the same time. Why are Texas and Penn State ranked over Indiana when Indiana has won 9 games by 14 plus points and Texas and Penn State haven't beaten anyone? Because Texas and Penn State are Texas and Penn State for one. And two, Indiana's strength of schedule is significantly worse than even Texas and Penn State's. So there's a little skepticism with Indiana's record, but I mean, their game control is outstanding. I mean, Indiana's a great story and a good team. But the schedule is preventing them from being respected the way that they think that they should be. And Saturday's a chance to prove that. It's crazy how a win over LSU, now all of a sudden the Gator fans think the Gators will dominate Ole Miss. It's amazing what winning does for confidence. Indiana's beaten one team with a winning record, just one, that's why. Yeah. You at 35-17? Yeah. Pate's opinion is based on his belief you have to build primarily in high school and supplement in the portal rather than building primarily in the portal or an even split. Like, but again, show your work on that. Why, how can you possibly know which way is the best way? How do you know? Anyway. They'll beat Florida by 3 touchdowns at least. You've watched them play last week aside. They have not looked good any other week. Play well early, and it gets out of hand by the 3rd quarter. And they're really, really banged up as well. Really banged up as well. Keep thinking back to how Austin Simmons saved the season. We aren't in this position without him. Crazy. So I have kind of a contrarian opinion on that. That was a very important drive. It was. Don't get me wrong. That allowed everybody to take a breath and settle down. I think Ole Miss's defense would not have allowed Georgia to win that game. I think that if that drive ended with a punt, it still would have, Ole Miss still would have won that game, I think. Yeah. Headed to Ohio State this weekend. Any places in the shoe you should visit? So, gosh, T, it's been so long since I've been there. I wish I could help you more. I really wish I could help you more. All I remember is the stadium and, like, the immediate area around the stadium. It is not like what you're used to with – well, I think Bloomington's this way too. But, like, Ohio State is a massive – massive campus. It is huge. And like everything is spaced out. the tailgating scene's kind of NFL. The band is amazing, truly amazing. You'll love that, but I wish I could give you real Rex. I really can't. I'm so sorry. It's been a long time since I've been there. I think Ole Miss fans are used to being let down, so they worry every week. This team has only trailed a couple of minutes a game through the first 10 games. Yeah, I think it's only 14 minutes total. They've trailed all season. You don't think Ole Miss would have won that game? Georgia would have had massive momentum had they shut down the Rebels next drive after the opening disaster. Maybe so. I just don't think the defense would have allowed that. Can't believe it's almost Thanksgiving. Me either. The difference Texas and Georgia had, Ole Miss doesn't, is that Lagway wasn't playing. Ole Miss still wins by a good margin, though. They'll come ready. Yes, that's true. And I think if Lagway doesn't get hurt, Florida very well could have beaten Georgia. But he's still not 100%, or at least he wasn't last week. So we'll see if he is this time. But anyway, I'll see you guys after the game. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, you guys are the absolute best. By the way, final score update for you. Ole Miss won 100-68. They won the second half by a 50-28 margin. So big day for Ole Miss basketball. Five players in double figures, and let's see, 10 of 26 from three. So not a bad day shooting the three ball after starting, I think one of eight. But anyway, you guys are the best. I'll talk to you after the game on Saturday. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.